All right. Well, we're grateful to have Brother Johnson back with us, and he's going to finish out our anniversary weekend by preaching for us, and appreciate him and appreciate his friendship. Brother Johnson, why don't you come? Let's give him one more last warm welcome.
Matthew chapter 28, please, tonight. Gospel of Matthew chapter 28. I told you this morning I had a tough task. I got between you and something to eat. Now I got to get between you and a nap. How many take a nap in the afternoon, right? Especially Sunday? Pile of fried chicken, a bunch of fried okra, and mashed potatoes. Oh, yeah. I'm filled with the Holy Ghost. I said okra. Yeah. How many have never eaten fried okra in your life, ever? Wow. I'm on a mission field. Okay, good. Mashed potatoes and white gravy and biscuits with butter. Eat about three chickens and a bunch of mashed potatoes and gravy. I said three chickens. And then when Sunday afternoon rolls around, it's nap time. It's time to put your feet up, watch the Niners lose, and then take a nap. It'd be fantastic. Well, I mean, this is Ram country, right? Charger country. I mean, you're into convicts. You reap for the Raiders. You're a Raider fan. All right, there we go. God bless you. I see that hand. Matthew chapter 28 this morning, please. This morning, this afternoon. Stand, if you would, for the reading of God's word tonight. Now, my problem is this is my nap time. So if I start to fall asleep, you throw a songbook at me, get me going again, okay? There's something. You get to my age. Listen, I'm 70 years old. Yeah. Trees don't live that long. I mean, that's... I know I look 68, but I'm 70 years old, and naps are like gold. I fought them when I was a child, and now I fight staying awake. But this is good. Pacific Baptist Church, please. Congratulations. Beyond, listen to me. To you, some of you, you've come here long enough now, you realize you missed the early days. We started our church from scratch. No land, no building, no people, no money, nothing. And we started from scratch in a Grange Hall building in the south end of Redding, California. And started at the worst time of year. Started in August, as a matter of fact, like here. And God just blessed us. And it was 40 plus years I pastored there before I retired. So I know what it is to start a church. I know what it is to go through those days. About 10 years ago, I on a Sunday night for our anniversary, four Sunday nights in a row, I had our bus ministry take us to our old buildings where we used to be. In that old Grange Hall building, if you don't know what that is, it's a farming organization that rents a hall out. You can rent it out for $75 a month. And it was a tremendous building. Actually, it was a dump, but it was nice. And we went to the Grange Hall, had a Sunday night service. Folks in our church have been with us and seen the buildings like this. I want them to see that. I want them to see the little open Bible church building around the corner that we rented where another church group was in there in the morning. We came in after them and held services and stuff, fixed that building up. Had no air conditioning in it. In Redding, you have to have air conditioning. You have to. 2 weeks ago, it was 119. You have to have air conditioning. Had no air conditioning in that building. We fixed that building up. Then we moved to another building. So each of those four Sunday nights, we went to all those old buildings. I wanted our people to see what that was like. I wanted them to see what it was, how they missed putting their babies in the kitchen for a nursery. We used to pull the ovens down, warm them up, stack the babies in there, keep them warm. I mean, we fought hornets and flies, and somebody stuffed a duck down the well, one of our buildings, and sucked it through the water system, and you turn the water on and duck parts came out and all that kind of stuff. Hornets would come in the buildings and chase people out. It was like we thought we were the Egyptians or something, but it was something else. So for many of you, you've never seen the early days of Pacific Baptist Church, those days when Brother Joe and his family founded this place and Brother Myers had come along. And then you say, well, yeah, so what does that mean? See, that's what happens to us today. We live in a country that still has a degree of freedoms left. We're losing many of them. But that's what happens to us. When the communists took over Russia, those who escaped said, we lost what we did not take for what we did not appreciate that which we had. I hope you do. You have nice air conditioning, beautiful buildings, facilities. I hope you realize what a blessing it is that God has allowed this church to continue. I mentioned this morning, 148 churches close their doors every week in America. The church is guaranteed to continue. That's the local New Testament Baptist church, by the way, in case you're wondering. But the church is guaranteed to continue. But no church as an individual institution is guaranteed to continue. I've seen the greatest churches in America close their doors. So I hope you appreciate what God has given you. And I hope you realize how important your part has been. You know, and this is not part of the message, and I don't mean to keep you because you ate, and you're, but I figure you can't sleep while you're standing. I can. And I've done it. But the truth of the matter is, every church, God sends a person to a church because, look at me, because you have what that church needs. The church is likened to a body. You know, every part of our body is not important to us till you smash that finger in the door, and then all of a sudden it becomes very important. But every person has a place in the body. I'm not talking about the mystical body. I'm talking about the local, visible assembly of a church. You have what this church needs. Your part here, God sent you here because you have what this church is going to need and what it does need. And for those who are faithful and serve and labor, thank you. This church has been a great influence on our state, our nation, and the world, as a matter of fact. And thank you for that. It would not be possible were it not for good men and leadership and staff and people who support it and get behind it and make it work. So thank you for that, and I appreciate you very much. Matthew chapter 28, please look at verse 16. Matthew 28 and verse 16. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee. I want you to remember that place, that name, Galilee. And the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. That's not amen, Yankees. That's amen. The place Galilee. Jesus had asked them to go there. Back up a few verses while you're there. Go to verse number 9. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, all hail. And they came and worshiped him, held him by the feet and worshiped him. Then said Jesus unto them, this is the disciples, be not afraid, go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me. You see Galilee mentioned again in verse 7. After Jesus' resurrection, the angel appears to those ladies and said, go tell the disciples, I want them to go to Galilee. Where are they? They're in Jerusalem. Galilee is 80 miles from Jerusalem. And when Jesus calls them to go to Galilee, he wants them to go meet them there. And there they receive the Great Commission, and there they get organized and put together. But the place Galilee in the Bible is what I want to talk to you about tonight. I want to talk to you, why did he want them to go to that place? It's mentioned 65 times in the New Testament. Nazareth is in Galilee. That's where Jesus was raised. Peter and Andrew and James and John were fishermen on the shores of Galilee when Jesus called them to follow him and become fishers of men. Philip, one of the evangelists of the church, etc., was from Galilee. That place becomes important in the Bible. So they're 80 miles from Galilee, and Jesus says, I want you to go to Galilee. I'm going to meet you there. I want to talk to you about why was that important. Father, bless tonight, please, I pray in Christ's name. Amen. Please be seated. Why Galilee then? It seemed to have a place of importance, not only for Jesus, but for the disciples. So he's asking them to come back. He's asking them to make an 80-mile journey. Well, come on. 80 miles to us is what? How Baptist you drive, depending. For some people, 2 or 3 hours. For me, 20 minutes, something like that. Give me 10 minutes, I can be anywhere in America. I mean, that's just how it works. I am a Californian, born and raised in California. I love how Southern Californians drive. You get in a car, get ticked off, and drive like a wild man. I love that. You go some places in our state, some places in this world, they drive the speed limit. What idiot, legalist idiot drives the speed limit? I love Southern California. You don't do 80 in the slow lane, the trucks run you off the road. I mean, that's just how it is. So 80 miles to us is not a big deal. This is 80 miles on foot. Why does he want them to leave Jerusalem and go back to this place called Galilee? several reasons quickly tonight. Number one is because that's where Jesus found them. That's where Peter and Andrew and James and John were when they were fishermen. And their dads were fishermen. And it was a heritage of fishing in their life. And Jesus, look at me, Jesus just walks by one day and he sees them there. Some are washing their nets, some are mending their nets. And Jesus says to those four men, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. And it totally changed their life. You know, it wouldn't hurt us to go to Galilee. And remember where Jesus found us. Where you came from. For 40 plus years, I pastored in the city of Redding, California. And for 40 plus years, I pastored a city where I grew up in a drunkard's home. My dad was a Baptist preacher and ran off with one of the women in the church. And my mother turned to drink, and they divorced and turned to drink and married a man as a bartender and a drunk. And we moved up to the city of Redding, California, and lived there out in a little house out in the countryside. I didn't know anybody, no church ever came by our house, no bus ever pulled up there, no one ever offered us anything, no one ever tried to win anybody in my house to Christ. Would God they led my stepdad to Christ. Would God somebody cared enough to come by and knock on our door. I'd have got, look at me, if the bus to the first church of Satan would have pulled up in front of my house, I'd have got on it, because it was better than what was going on in my house the night before. I spent half my childhood sleeping under the bed instead of on top of it because of this hero drunk stepdad of mine. He was no hero. And he'd come home and beat up my mother and beat us kids and stuff like that. And this is not an Oprah session, so just stay with me for a moment. But the truth of the matter is, no one cared for our soul. And we moved a lot as a kid. I never lived in one place more than 2 years in a row. And we moved so much as a kid. Then it was Sacramento and places like that. And everywhere we moved, my drunk stepfather and my mother was a drunk. And they would fight all the time. And we had broken furniture and half her teeth were knocked out. And I'd stepped on her teeth on the floor in the morning when I'd go in the kitchen to get my breakfast. See, look at me. When I, as a nine-year-old boy, heard about Jesus and salvation, I didn't have a problem with that. I wanted to get saved. I was amazed that God loved me. You want to know something? That's 61 years ago. I'm still amazed that God loves me. You know what? The truth of the matter is, it wouldn't hurt us to remember where we came from. That'd be a good idea. Some of us get a little, what we used to call the old days, highfalutin. Huh? The boots are a little too tall. We kind of forgot what it was like. Now say, well, that wasn't me, Brother Johnson. I grew up in a Christian home and family, and I got saved as a child, and I didn't have that background. Thank God for it. That's why I have a problem with young people who have a problem with growing up in a Christian home. They feel like they're missing something, you know? I had to go to a Christian school. I heard a kid say one time, gave his testimony. He said, I grew up in a Christian home, Christian family, Christian school, and I grew up on drugs. They drugged me to Sunday school. They drugged me to the morning service. They drugged me to the Sunday night service. They drugged me to Christian school. He was being funny. I don't understand a young person's got a problem with living in a Christian home and family. I don't know how to help you. I don't know how to talk to you. I don't know how to pat you on the back and make you feel good about yourself. I really don't. I don't understand that. I'm telling you something, ladies and gentlemen. When I came to Christ as a nine-year-old boy, I came to Christ because God loved me and Jesus died for me. You know something? 61 years later, I still remember that. I still remember hearing John 3:16 for the first time, that God so loved the world, and that meant me, that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Oh, he wants them to go back to Galilee because he said, remember, fellas, that's where you were. You were fishing. There's nothing wrong with it, but that wasn't what he wanted them to do. Remember, fellas, where I found you. Have you forgotten where God found you? I don't remember the date that I got saved. I wish I did. I was a nine-year-old boy, American Baptist Church, Antioch, California. My pastor, Pastor Jacobs, was a good man, but boring, He started at 11 o'clock sharp and ended 12 o'clock dull every Sunday. Only thing interesting about him was he licked his lips after every word. Dearly beloved, we are gathered today to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. He died of chapped lips. And my brother and I used to sit there and count how many times he licked his lips.
Oh, my goodness.
Because you're in churches like that, you know, y'all have no idea. Listen to me. Y'all have no idea what it means to grow up in churches that are boring. But the man faithfully preached the gospel, and I got saved. Pastor Jacobson's been in heaven a long time now, long time. Got a glorified body, no chapped lips. But every so often I pause and I think, where would my life be if Jesus had not saved my soul? I had stepbrother and sister that their life was a train wreck. They grew up and followed the life that they saw. Oh, by the way, quick thought on that one. That's your fault if you do that. Right. Well, you have to understand it came from an abusive home. Then you should not be an abuser. That's right. Well, they were all drunks, so I'm a drunk. That's stupid. You got to be kidding me. So you saw the wickedness and you're going to multiply that by your life? You're looking for an excuse to do wrong. Let's face it, pal. I've been there, done that, almost bought that T-shirt. As you'll notice, I'm not a psychologist. Good. No. God loved me and Jesus died for me. Back to Galilee. He wanted them to remember where they came from. Number two, he wanted them to remember that's where God started working in their life. They were fishing. Nothing wrong with that. Fishing's a good thing. Right? Just like hunting. If we weren't supposed to shoot them, they shouldn't run from us. If it crawls, it falls. If it's brown, it's down. If it flies, it dies. So aren't you an animal? Aren't you in favor of animals? Yes, they have their place by the carrots and mashed potatoes and everything else at the table. I'm for all that kind of stuff. There's nothing wrong with some of your animal rights activists just passed out. Well, just sit up. You'll pay attention. Don't tell me you went out there and just ate cabbage. Okay, anyway. The truth of the matter. I'm for vegetarians. Please, more vegans, more. My Cherokee people have an expression for vegetarians called no can hunt. That's what you are. It leaves more meat for us carnivores. I'm for all that kind of stuff. You know, the truth of the matter is, dear people, it strikes me funny that somehow or another in our lives, we forget what it means when God starts to move in our lives and to work in our lives. You know, that first time you read your Bible and you thought, oh, that's what that is. The first time you read the Bible and you figured out what it meant, children of Israel. Stuff like that, where you asked God for something and he actually answered your prayer. And you thought, whoa, God heard me. And God begins to work in your life. See, that's pretty common for me in my day in my life. I hope it never gets common for us. I hope it never becomes common that you hear from God and God hear, you know that God listens to you. Hey, you open your Bible, you read it. I'm not saying every time I read my Bible, it's like lightning bolts that happen and everything else. But I'll tell you something. There's something about spending time in the Word of God now. And find, if you've ever known what it means to be right with God, you know what it means to not be right with God. Is that not true? You know what grieving of the Holy Spirit means. And you know what it means when the Holy Spirit works in your heart, your life, and he tugs on you. And he comforts you. And corrects you, and instructs you, and he lifts you. Hey, he might even, and this might be pushing my limit a little bit here tonight, he might even put a little smile on your face. How come people going to heaven look like they're going to hell? I don't understand that. Seriously? Some people, honestly, if you're saved, tell your face. The truth of the matter is, how about it? You know, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, gentleness, meekness, faith. How about all that kind of stuff? When you first begin to see that God begins, how about the first time you ever led someone to Christ? Do you remember that first time? We're in downtown Chicago. I'd gone to Bible college. We're in downtown Chicago. I had led people to the Lord at church as a part of services, but I had never actually just walked up to a person and given them the gospel and see them get saved. We're in downtown Chicago, and we're witnessing to people there, and they picked the best spot to go in downtown Chicago, right in the middle of the residential, financial district. Businessmen. These people don't have time to talk to themselves, much less anybody else. And they're all milling around down there. I'm trying to get them, hey, sir, can I talk to you a minute? No, I got time right now, kid. And they wouldn't talk to me. I couldn't get anybody to talk to me. And I'm in the middle of a city of millions of people, and I can't get one soul to listen to me. So finally I saw some drunks over inside of the bottom of office building glass there. It was a cold day in Chicago. It was like July. Cold day in Chicago. And I saw these drunks leaning against the window. And I go, they'll listen to me. I went over there. I said, hey, pal, can I talk to you? Get away from me, kid! And I couldn't get drunks to talk to me. I was so discouraged. I thought, man, what is going on here? What is wrong with me? Now, you don't have to believe this illustration, but it's true. I ain't preaching right now. I'm telling the truth. Here's what happened. I'm standing on the street corner, and I see this gentleman standing here. And he's just kind of looking around. I said, hey, guy, how's it going? Can I talk to you a minute? And he goes, whatever. I just came down here to find out how to get saved. And I went, dude, don't move. I got it. What did you say? You want to get saved? Okay, listen, I about ripped the pants off the back of my britches. Ripped the pocket off. Get my New Testament out. I can do this. I can help you. Don't move. Right there. Hold on, pal. Watch this. I got my New Testament out. And I led him to Christ. Amen. His name is Arthur Picante. That was 45 years ago. I still remember the first guy I ever got to lead to Christ. Now, I don't care whether you believe it or not. I believe God went to one of the angels and said, that guy's getting discouraged. You better go down there and tell him you want to get saved. And just listen to whatever he tells you. I don't know if that's really the case or not. But I'll tell you what. I remember that. I remember leading him to Christ. I still remember walking away going, yes, God could use me. Yes, this is good. Huh? Remember when you actually went to the nursery to work for the first time and you were excited about it? You weren't like on parole. You were excited about it. You got the help in a Sunday school class. You were excited about that. Okay, back to Galilee. Should remind us when God started working in our life and we got to see, look at me, we got to see God do something with us. And not for the self-glory of, look what I did. How about just for the pleasure of knowing that the God of heaven decided to use me to do something for his work? Why back to Galilee? Number three, because it was getting back to the basics. What does that mean? Peter and Andrew, James and John. Jesus says, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. What did they do? Watch me. Here's what they did. You call me. You have your people call my people. We'll get together and do lunch. Send me an email, and I'll see if I can squeeze you in my schedule. Follow me, Jesus said, I'll make you fishers of men. And what did they say? Well, we're fishermen. Our dad's a fisherman. We're in the fishing business. We leave this, we're going to leave our heritage, our lineage. Lord, do you know what you're asking us to do? That's what they did, right? They stood there and questioned him and said, now, where are we going? What's going on? What's for lunch? Where are we staying? Do I get a Tesla? I mean, come on, what's happening here? Do I get to have this? Do I get to have that? What's going on? How about the future? Is there a retirement package? You got a 403B, 401K. Is there an IRA in this thing with a Roth? Is that what it is? How about this, that? That's what they did, right? When Jesus told these men who were raised to be fishermen all of their life, follow me, I'll make you fishers of men. What did they do? They dropped their nets and followed Jesus. Why did he want them to go back to Galilee? Look at me, because he wanted them to get back to the basics of what makes the Christian life work. These are veteran disciples. They were there when Jesus broke the loaves and fishes and they took the baskets and fed the people. They saw Peter walked on water with Jesus. These are veteran disciples. Hey, they've been around a while. They know stuff. Yeah, I bet they were premillennial. I bet they were pre-tribulation. I bet they knew stuff. And maybe what Jesus wanted to do was get back to stuff like, is that what you want me to do, Jesus? Yes, sir. How many were ever in the military? You ever in the military? Put your hand up in there and let me see. You ever been in the military? You understand the principle? They train you at boot camp to shut up and do what you're told, right? Good. You know what's a great principle in the Christian life? Shut up and do what you're told. No, not look at me. Not nowadays. You have to lay out the package. Well, what's the full vision for this thing? You tell your kid, your boy, son, take out the garbage. And he looks at you and says, Dad, I'm sorry, but I cannot remove the refuse from the domicile to the refuse removal receptacle because I will not feel good about myself. Dad, it will demean me as an individual, as a person. And I'm not in touch with my inner child. And if someone was to see me removing refuse from the domicile to the refuse removal receptacle, Dad, it would demean me in the sight of others. and ruin my image in the public. In my house, my dad would have said, take out the trash or I'll put you in the trash. One or the other, just shut up and take out the trash. You people go to store, you're negotiating with a four-year-old. Now, Billy, why did you punch your brother in the head? Do you think Billy's going to give you a logical answer? Other than, I wanted to punch him in the head. I mean, that's pretty simple. My brother and I, I'm going to do something you never do in church. Watch this. Stand up. Everybody stand up. That's right. I know you're not supposed to mess with people in Baptist when they sit. But this will help you because I know you ate and I want to hurry up and finish. My brother and I, older brother and I, Jack, we had our half-brother Stephen. We were in a store one day with my stepmother and Stephen, my brother Jack and I. Hot summer day, we're going by the frozen food section. And we look at, my brother Stephen was, he wasn't retarded, but he was like in the neighborhood. You know what I'm saying? He was close. And we're walking by the frozen food section, and Stephen is looking in the frozen food section. You know those cans of orange juice concentrate? And they got the frost on the end of them? And Stephen's standing there doing this. My brother and I could feel it. We could feel the desire of our little brother to lick that orange juice can. So we picked it up and handed it to him. And he went, and it stuck. Now, come on, look. How many of you have ever done that before? Huh? Yeah, okay, go ahead. You know what? It isn't cool. It burns. And Stephen's going, ah! My stepmother's on the other side of the aisle, and here's Stephen with the orange juice can stuck on his tongue. Ah! And it burns. So then Stephen takes off and starts running down the aisles of the grocery store. My brother and I are laying on the floor laughing so hard. And the longer he ran, the longer his tongue got. I mean, he rivaled Gene Simmons. It was unbelievable. And he's running down the aisle. Ah! My stepmother's trying to catch him going, Stephen, don't pull it off. And he stopped and went, ah! And he just ripped it off. About four layers of tongue on that thing. Ah! And he starts running the other way, going to the drinking fountain. Puts water on it, screams some more. We got the register. The lady didn't know whether to charge us for frozen food or fresh meat. There was so much stuff on this thing. Man, did we get a whooping when we got home. I'll tell you what. You know, what does that got to do with getting back to basics? Nothing. I just thought you want to hear a funny story. No, the truth of the matter is, you get this idea that somehow or another, I don't have to do now what every other Christian's supposed to do. Anything God tells any Christian to do, any Christian's supposed to do. And I don't care how long you've been saved. Still you. Yeah, well, I go to church, but see, I do stuff where I don't have to get in church and actually go to church. I mean, I can do stuff. No, wait a minute. So we're such good Christians, we don't have to sit and listen to preaching? Wait a minute. Hold on a second. You mean to tell me, watch me now, you mean to tell me that stuff about read your Bible, walk with God, do right by your family, that's for everybody but me? No, that's for every Christian. Anything God asks of any Christian, God asks of any Christian. And there's some stuff about just kind of get back to do what we're asked to do. What's wrong with, yes, sir. Yes, Lord. I'll say yes, Lord, yes, to your will and to your way. I'll say yes. What's wrong with that? When was the last time you went to the altar to pray about anything God moved on you about? Or how about this one? You went to the altar and prayed because God ain't moved on you about nothing. Something's wrong with that. I hate to ruin your lunch, but let me keep going. Please be seated. Thank you for standing. That's tremendous. Preacher, do this one time. I dare you. Baptists like their seats, don't they? Huh? You like to sit in the same seat? One Sunday night, I said, okay, all you folks, right before church started, all you folks in this section over here, you're going to move. Don't do it right now. You're going to move over there. You folks in that section, you're going to move over here. You in that section, you're going over there. You in that section, you're going over there. Pie section with pie section, whoop. Folks in the front, you're going to the back. That'd be wicked, wouldn't it? You're going to the back. And you back row Baptists, boop, 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 come on up here. I moved everybody. You should have seen the look on people's faces. They're sitting in their chair like this. And they're all the same. Same chairs. It's like they couldn't get comfortable. And the ones that were going. I dare you. I'll pay for a round of golf at any nine-holer in town. The truth of the matter, see, how many times you do that? Just once. I ain't stupid. I mean, why back to Galilee? Because it took them out of where they were. They have to make an 80-mile journey. Hey, they have to make an 80-mile journey. They have to make an 80-mile journey and get out of Jerusalem and go back to a place they were from. In other words, he wanted them to get out of their comfort zones. Come on, balcony people, why don't these Sundays sit down here? Now, normally you may do that because of time frame, and I'm not trying to pick on you or anything like that. I'm just saying, how about it? How about one Sunday you come in and you just decide you're not going to sit in the same seat? I know it's cup for you and everything else. I know that. But not just that. So you got all the bus drivers you need, Sunday school teachers. We mentioned this the other night. You got all those people you don't need anymore. You know, it's good for us to push the limit on what we do. You know, character is a good thing. It keeps you going. You do the same thing, same time. If you're like me, I go to a restaurant, I usually order the same thing. Why change? You know, if it broke, don't fix it. And it's funny because my wife will always say, what are you getting? She knows what I'm getting. And I'll tell her, she goes, I don't want that. Why'd you ask? I mean, you know, it's one of those deals. But you know what? It's kind of good sometimes to say, whoa, I remember going to church as a layman, looking up in the choir, and there's one guy and a bunch of ladies. I looked up there and I thought, man, that ain't right. There should be two guys up there. And I'm going to be that dude. So I went to the pastor. I said, Pastor, can I sing in the choir? He goes, can you sing, Brother Johnson? This lady said no before I even got to it. It's unbelievable. Thank you, ma'am. I said, Pastor, can I sing in the choir? He goes, can you read music? I go, can I sing in the choir? He goes, you don't know how to do it. I said, I have no idea, preacher. I said, look, there ought to be two guys up there. Come on. You know, it wasn't long until there was two, and then there was three and four and five. What? You're not going to get your name in the Fox's Book of Martyr because you decided to take an offering, but it's something. How about it? Boy, this is not going over too good. Okay, you get out of your comfort zone. I do the same thing at the same time every time in my life. That's the way I do it. Well, that's tremendous character. I appreciate that. But whoa, wait a minute. When was the last time you pushed your prayer life some? I don't mean pushing it the wrong direction. I mean the right direction. Where you actually had a day of, now don't kill me on this, no electronics. Three people just passed out. Did you see that? Slain in the spirit at a Baptist church. How about that? How about it? If the glow of your relationship with your spouse is the glow off the tablet, something's wrong. When was the last time you pushed it in your life? Got out of that comfort zone and did something you thought, look, I have always had a fear of public speaking. I still do. If it wasn't for the grace of God and CBD oil, I would have been not standing here right now. I can guarantee you that. That's not true. The truth is, when was the last time you pushed your limit? Get out of your comfort zone. Take on something you think, you know, they need this, though. Last point, because this is not going over well. Last point, point number five, is because he wanted them to go to Galilee because of what happened there. Going all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Now, we think, well, that's the first group. That wasn't the first time he commissioned them. Look on the fields, they're white already to harvest. Follow me, I'll make you fishers of men. They already understood Jesus was going to get them going busy about winning souls, getting people saved and doing the work. But this one is like, okay, fellas, I'm about to go back to heaven. Let me remind you what's the important thing here. They call it in the business world keeping the main thing. He commissions them for the Great Commission. And those guys went and turned the world upside down. Why do we go to a soul-winning church and we don't go soul-winning? What, we like to see it on paper? No, wait a minute. Why aren't we involved in this thing of seeing people saved? We're watching what's happening to our country. Let's stand our feet. This time we'll dismiss after this. Turn over to Pastor. Stand up one more time, please, and that's it. I know you're still mad at me for making you stand the first time, but that's okay. Just trying to help you. Seriously. Why are we so disgusted? I'm disgusted with our state. Right? If Governor Newsom's around, I feel very comfortable standing close to him because I feel very safe because the man ain't worth shooting. The truth of the matter is, We got a mess in this city today, in our area, our state, right? But California guides the country and the world. But how are we going to change that? We're going to go to the houses of politics and hobnob with a bunch of people who'd sell you out for a nickel. Sorry, I'm not impressed. How about this? Is your neighbor saved? About the person across the street, the people you work with. He's commissioning them to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He wants them to come back to that place where he had been telling them all along, gentlemen, that's what we're about, eh? That's what we're about. The go teach, baptize, teach of a local New Testament church. Wouldn't hurt for us to remind ourselves, nothing wrong with getting some tracts in your pocket. Nothing wrong with talking to your loved ones. Nothing wrong with winning people to Christ. And it's what we're all about anyhow, right? To go, to teach, to baptize, and to teach them. That's what this. That's why God has allowed Pacific Baptist Church to continue for 36 years. It's a go, teach, baptize, teach church. Not just win souls, win people, teach them the word of God, instruct them to go win people and teach the word of God, etc. And we've kept it as a simple principle here. That's why churches that continue, continue. We get off on we're going to have sports leagues, we've got to have basket weaving classes and ministries for 5'2" redheaded buck teeth people. It's not going to work. We got forgive all your redheaded buck teeth people. But the truth of the matter, it's not going to work. We got to stay with what he's given us, see. Back to Galilee, gentlemen, is what? I'm going to tell you, go teach, baptize, teach what I've been telling you all along. Follow that. Keep the main thing in your life. Back to Galilee would be good for us. Let's bow our heads for prayer, please. Thank you for listening today. May I say again, as we turn it over to Pastor, thank you, Pacific Baptist Church, for your stand, your position, your faithfulness. I hope you realize what a powerful influence this church has on the cause of Christ. Again, in this city, this state, this country, and around this world. Thank you, thank you, thank you. How about back to Galilee today? What would the Lord have you do? Heads bowed and eyes closed. We'll turn it over to Pastor, please.
Piano is going to play. The invitation is simply this. What did God speak to you about? Let's not just stay in our seats. If God spoke to you something, why don't you come? Why don't you come do business with God? That's why we have these invitations. We don't just want to hear. We don't want God to speak to us, and we go our way. Let's do business with God. The altar is open.